that they were called tzaddik, if you recall it. And the last topic we talked about was the whole concept of the bechira by a tzaddik emes. The fact that by Moshe Rabbeinu there was a concept that by a tzaddik emes there's no concept of bechira once Hashem tells him to do something. Once he knows that something is to be done, the concept of bechira doesn't exist by him because he has such emun in Hashem, such an attachment to Hashem, such a loyalty to Hashem. The only time where bechira applies by a tzaddik emes is in what he doesn't know what to do, in a situation where he has to make a decision and he doesn't know what to do. And last time we learned, we finished Terah Kuf Tzadik. I just want to mention a piece because of the way it's worded. I think it pays to go through it'll take 3 minutes. A piece in the Chaim Aran where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this item related to himself. Rav Moshe Zal writes, Yoyim Beis, this is written on a Monday, Chof Dalad Iyar Be'uman. Hoyimadaber Imi, Rabbeinu Zal was talking to me, Va'omar, and he said, that at this point in time, Rabbi Nezal was saying that he wanted very, very much to drop all of his Talmidim, to drop all of his association with people. He would want to select for himself a place where he can live alone and sit alone and not be bothered by everybody, not have to have the yoke of the world upon him. The Omar, and he said, "Ki hu chayshev," that Rabbi Nezal said that he thought, "Sheim lo yehoya maschil betchila beinyan hanhogas hamafursim," that if he wouldn't have gotten started in this concept of being mekar of people and everything, "Efshir hoya magia l'masha hoya magia," who knows, he might have achieved everything that he wanted to achieve as far as his own personal goals. The Omar Tiloi, and Rav Nosson Zal said to him, "Haloi Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem Hoya Oisei Gam Kein Vozeh Ban Hoga Soilam L'Karav Bnei Adam L'Hashem." Moshe Rabbeinu also did this. He also was Mekarav people, as much as we could understand that he would have wanted to be alone, that when a person achieves such a high level in knowledge, in seichel, and understanding, it's difficult for him to associate with people. He's got to bring himself down tremendously, and he has a tremendous taiva to be on his own, to be able to just advance on his own learning, his own tefillah, his own avodah. So this Rav Nosson Zal said to Rabbi Nezal, and you could imagine again the kind of respect with which he said this. In other words, you don't picture this as a discussion where Rabbi Nezal said something. Rav Nosson Zal said, "So what? It doesn't it say over here this? You have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, this space to mention to everybody here. Number one, those who have children should certainly be aware of this halacha, and it pays to understand this between a Rebbe and Talmidim also. As far as a child to a parent, and certainly a Talmid to a Rebbe, if a child sees a parent breaking a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you're never permitted to go tell the parent, you just committed a sin, or what you're doing is against Shulchan Aruch." In other words, to word it that way. The only way you're permitted to word it is in an extremely respectful manner. And this is, again, the exact wording in Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it's not like they weren't aware that there would come a day in 1981 where there would come a situation where sometimes the kids are more religious than the parents. This they knew about in the Shulchan Aruch, that there existed such situations. And we acknowledge it, and the way that it's to be handled is, the child has to say to the parent in a very respectful way, "Didn't you once teach me that this is the halacha?" Or, in other words, word it in a manner where it doesn't come out disrespectful. It doesn't come out like you're challenging his authority, you're challenging his leadership. That kind of concept. This applies to a parent, and also to a Rebbe, for sure. So Rav Nosson Zal said to him, "But didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do this item also?" So Rabbeinu Zal answered him, "Heshiv." Rabbeinu Zal replied, "Haligam Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalim Shoga Bozeh." Moshe Rabbeinu also made a mistake in this. Kigam Moshe Nenash Al Shekira Vesoyrav Rav. We find that there could be a concept of mistake in this, in being Mekarev people, because you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he was Mekar of the Eruv Rav. So you see that there it was an out-and-out mistake, Chas V'Shalom. It was out-and-out going against what Hashem really wanted, number one, which implies that in this whole item of being Mekar of people, Bechlal, it's conceivable for there to be a mistake. Vi Omar, and Rabbeinu Zal said, Ki ho ikar ho avoida shiesh bechol davar. The main avoida that exists in every item, ma shemenichin la'odom al habchira shelai, is in that which Hashem gives the person a choice. Hainu, shenishar hadavar al da'atoi, the item is placed upon, in other words, the item is left to the person's own brains, ve'ein boi mitzvah, and there's no direct statement, there's no direct command by Hashem directing you what to do. For example, a week from this Wednesday night, a person's going to have a question in his mind. Should I eat bread or should I eat matzah? The question is resolved. Hashem said, eat matzah. Bo erev teich lo matzois. A question, should I put on tzitzis in the morning? Should I not? Hashem said, do this. Should I eat this kind of meat? Hashem said, don't. The main avoida that a person has is in that which Hashem did not say clearly. Hainu she'en mitzvah noise eleis hadavar shum mitzvah, where Hashem does not give any direct command related to that item, ve'en leimrim leiklal la'aseis kein, and they don't tell the person to do such and such. Rak she'nishar hadavar al da'atoi, the item is left to the person's own brain, she'yaseh kefi ma she'yivchar lo, he should do whatever he wants to do. This is the concept of Chaysef Yemechad Midatoi, which is said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Shezois habachino hi nimtzas b'chol avoida v'avoida. There exists this concept within every single act of avoidas Hashem that a person does. Because as is understood, there's different levels in what kind of hispidus you have, how far you're willing to take it. I'm extremely tired. I'm extremely, extremely tired. Should I or shouldn't I? Should I risk this? Should I not risk this? All kinds of questions that have come up. How much should I stretch? Stucker. How much? Is this enough? Is this more? Should I give a little more? A little more? All of these questions, there's always a bechina of Hosef Yemechot Midatoi. Ki b'chol avoida mi'avoidas Hashem yesh dovor shemeinichin u'mashirin la'odom b'li mitzvah v'azhora. Within every act of serving Hashem, there exists a certain scope in which they don't tell the person exactly what to do. There's no clear warning given what to do. Ve'in mitzavon olav shi'asakein, rak hadovor toli bedatoi u'bechirosoi. The item is totally in the person's own brains and the person's own free choice. K'moy Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom shohesu yamechad midatoi b'li mitzvah, as is brought in Likud Imran. And that's the ikar avoida of a person. Meaning, when we talk about little kids, by them it's an avoida, not to eat something treif or this or that. Once a person becomes what we call religious, then again, if Hashem tells him do this, or if his Rebbe tells him get me this, or do this, or don't do this, that shouldn't even be classified as an avoida, really. That's nothing. In other words, I was told what to do. There's no question. There's no choice anymore. The ikar avoida is in what you're not told to do, what you're not told outwardly, what you can't be told, how much you have to understand on your own what your obligations are, what your commitments are to Hashem, to a Rebbe, to Torah, to Tefillah, all of these items. Because the person is left in a state of suffix constantly. What is the Rotzain of Hashem? After all, Hashem has not told him exactly what to do in this situation. The Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, Ki keneged rotzon Hashem yisporach ein nimtza etzloi shum kvedus v'yegiyo b'shum avoido u b'shum inyan sheboilam. Rabbeinu Zal said, as far as the will of Hashem, what Hashem wants, there Rabbeinu Zal said, there isn't any difficulty whatsoever in him complying with anything that Hashem would want him to do. V'afilu kol ha'yisurin sheboilam rachmono letzlan. And even all the suffering in the world combined, kefima shehu yodea miyisurin, as well as Rabbeinu Zal understood what suffering was, nobody matched him in the kind of physical, mental, spiritual yisurin that he had upon himself. Shehu Einai Reitzel Eitzim Bedibur Rachman Olson. Rabbi Elazar said, I don't even want to mention this. You know, I don't even want to say it, put it into words, the kind of suffering that I've been put through from beginning to end. Vafal Pikein still Kol Hayisurim V'Chol Advarim Shebo'ilom Hoyo Mekabel Benokel. All of that he accepted easily, without it wasn't difficult. If he knew that this is what Hashem wanted, bevadai, for sure. Because once he knew that this was the will of Hashem, he accepted it, no sweat, zero, no problem. And there wasn't any mitzvah or any suffering that was difficult to him whatsoever. In any item where there was no clear direction given by Hashem as to what to do, that's what was difficult. He ikar hayegia v'hakvedus. That's where the main difficulty comes in. Ki einu yedea echlasis, because you don't know what to do. Ulefamim royesh yesh lei kama yisurim. There are times when he saw that he had a lot of suffering. He didn't know if Hashem wanted him to have it or to try to fight it as much as he could. Should he accept it or fight it? Also, the act of breaking the luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu did was also this concept. That's another case where Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. This required a choice, a decision made completely by him. And yet, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Hashem told him, Yasher Koychacho, Yofe Sheshibarto. You did a very good thing in breaking the luchos. Rabbeinu spoke at length about this topic. May I note here, Rabbeinu was expressing that in the concept of himself dealing with the world, his whole association with the world, that was something that was pretty much left up to his discretion. There was no clear direction given by Hashem. Not only that, but there were hints by Hashem against it. Moshe Rabbeinu got punished for dealing with the Erev Rav. So it seems again that this took tremendous mesiras nefesh, because Hashem didn't say clearly to do it, and he had to battle within his own mind because it was competing with his own avodah. He knew that if he were left by himself, he could go much faster, much better, increase his speed and his perfection in avodah and everything. And Rabbi Elazar said that's where the major difficulty was involved. And the Bir Likutei Zohar brings in Kayach Vayar that the only solution to this problem is v'sakneinu bi'etza toivo. Because the Bir Likutei Zohar says that this item does not apply just to Moshe Rabbeinu, this applies to every single person. There exists this concept of bechira, whereby nobody, in other words, a person should think that if Rebbe didn't tell me to do this, if Rebbe Zal didn't tell me to do this, then I'm not compelled to do this. Baloney, zero. 99.9% of what you're required to do, you're not told. It's 1% that you're told, you're given remozim, hints, that which you have to synthesize in your own mind, you have to put it together. And you have to beg Hashem to give you the seichel to be able to know how far am I supposed to go? What's expected of me in religion? How much? How good? How pure? How everything? And this requires guidance from Hashem. A person has to beg Hashem. I don't want to fool myself. Rabbi Zal said that if a person goes around fooling people, making believe he's a tzaddik, the einish is the worst einish conceivable. That in the end he comes to think that he begins to believe it himself. And that's the person who's in the worst position conceivable, a person who doesn't know how to rate himself, how he's supposed to be rated. That's the whole concept of that Rav Elazar taught about in Esak Shemayim Shemata. A person should never be satisfied. No person could ever say that he's fulfilled his obligation. That's for starters. So you start off with an assumption that you haven't finished, you haven't succeeded. And within having not succeeded, it's just a question of how bad you are, how far you are from having not succeeded, you know, even gotten to that extent.
Is it what you said once about one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Zusha Zal, that he said that they're not going to come to him and say, why wasn't he Moshe Rabbeinu? They're going to say, why wasn't he Reb Sosha?
Right.
That, how does that compare? You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, it's, if you get to Reb Sosha, that means you still got further to go.
The answer is, again, which person can say that he has extended himself to the limit in Avodas Hashem? Literally extended himself. Rabbeinu Zal makes a statement in the Likutei Moharan that when a person has his Spodidus is tefillah. Hishtapchus hanefesh, pouring out the nefesh. Rabbi Nizal says a person has to daven to the extent where he feels the nefesh beginning to leave him. Nafshi yotza bedabroi, literally. Which person can say he did it? And if you did it one time, big deal. Why not every day? It's supposed to be on a daily basis. To accept Shema Yisrael, Kabbalah Samar Shema with Mesiras Nefesh, all of these items. In other words, a person has to understand that on one hand there is a concept of his chazkus, to be mechazik yourself, that you're not all that bad, but that's a drop. In other words, that's just to make sure you don't go over the deep end. Now, some people pour on the hischaskas to such extent that they be, again, that the person becomes a tzaddik by himself, or the person becomes sluggish. He doesn't realize to what a degree he has to run. Rabbi Nizal says in the Kodem Ram that there's tzaddik and there's bal tshuva. Tzaddik is one who has to go about his avoda slowly and methodically and meticulously, because by him there's the avoda and there's everything around the avoda. There's the vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, which he also has to be dike in by Baal Tshuva, which is all of us. Baal Tshuva has to run like a maniac. He has to run on all four burners as fast as he can, gobble up mitzvahs, because he's got a lot to make up. He's got a whole past to clean up that he knows about, and imagine what he doesn't know about. So a person has to, again, how much? How do you measure this? How do you scale this down? This requires tefillah. This requires hispidus. This requires putting oneself in Hashem's hands and screaming, Ritzoni, Lasis Ritzonecha. Hashem, I don't want anything. I was looking at that sign they have up in the Young Israel. We want Mashiach now. It's a beautiful thing, but I don't know if you word it that way. We want nothing, number one. And number two, we want Mashiach now, please, at best. Because you never talk to Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, you don't steal, but rachmim v'tachnunim, al tas tfiloscho kva, you don't grab from Hashem, you don't say, hav. You do it with tremendous respect, with tremendous pleading, begging, you know, with tears. You don't grab over there, chas v'shem.
What does this mean about this that he won't be, they won't be judging why he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
I still don't understand, like, what's the direct answer
to that? Very simple. It means that, let's say, we understand that no matter how much we try, there's no way in the world that we're going to catch up to Moshe Rabbeinu, or let's say, Tal Rebbe Zechor Levracha. That's an assumption that a person must start off with, mitzad anova, for starters, to assume that if he's the Rebbe and I'm the Talmud, it means that under any set of normal circumstances, he's billions of miles ahead. So that if I fulfill my complete mission, if I stretch myself to the limit, I can be a good Talmud. Not I can become his Chavruso or his Rebbe, I can become a good Talmud, that kind of concern. That Reb Zishas also he understood completely. But at the same time, these were Oivdim, these were people who stretched and stretched and were never satisfied. They never had enough. You get a person who has Taivas Momoin, never enough. You get another person who has a taiva for Torah, a taiva for Chidushei Torah, or a taiva for his Hispidus. He's told that this is the biggest thing in the world, means no matter how much, if he'll have his hour, it's not that he's satisfied, it's not like he feels he fulfilled his obligation for today. He's plotting, he's constantly wishing that he could do more, wishing that he could get better, improve, that whole concept.
Did it say anything about reason? No. What was the point of that thing? He was mentioning what he went through in life.
Tremendous physical suffering, and he said that wasn't difficult. if he knew that Hashem wanted him to accept this, it was no sweat, it was nothing hard. The only difficulty was in a suffering where he wasn't sure that Hashem wanted him to go through it, that kind of concept. In other words, where possibly it came, the Gemara says, Yivel esalam tesalev da'akai v'al Hashem yisaf libay. Sometimes a person brings suffering upon himself, and then he goes, screams, Hashem, Hashem, please save me from this suffering. Hashem says, you idiot, this was never planned for you. You went looking, you broke a door down in heaven to go to run into a prison there to get a whip out to whip yourself with. I didn't do it to you. That's the truth. That's the wording in the Gemara. So a person has to understand that there are times where he brings things upon himself completely. So Rabbi Nezal said that anything that he knew Hashem wanted him to go through, he was prepared to do it with simcha. It was the great, no sweat. The only difficulty was where there was bechira, where there wasn't a clear direction from Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal seemed to imply that especially in this avoda of Hanhogas Ha'ilam, this Hanhoga of a Mefursim, that was extremely difficult for him. And he had many times, many points, he complained that he wanted to drop it. And even when Rabbi Nezal challenged him, what about Moshe Rabbeinu? He did this also. Rabbi Nezal said, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake in this item also. You see that this item was left to his own discretion, and within his own discretion, that's where there's room for error. In being the car of the error for us. Which ended up doing tremendous damage to Bnei Yisrael.
Rahmanu Litzlan. There's one point that if you're going to, by helping others, you take away from yourself.
In a way, yes.
Or
in
is
a way,
that level.
In a way, definitely. No, not on any level. In other words, a person can understand this. Help yourself.
But they always say, it ends up coming back to in a different.
But that's a separate item. But on one hand, the person comes out losing. Rabbi Nezal mentioned his Talmud many times that he had to sacrifice his family and everything for them. Yet he became Rabbi Nezal, became the biggest tzaddik. But look what he ended up hurting constantly, going through tremendous suffering in order to do it.
So from what we see here, it's clear that, for example, with Rabbi Zal, certain people complain that he didn't make certain things clear. So in other words, he wasn't supposed to make it clear. He was supposed to set the pace,
100%.
Keep us, and
that's
we were supposed
one of,
to...
It's one of the items that I was going to cover right now, the fact that the Bir Likut himself brings in Kaich Viyar, that in one of the most important items to Breslov possible, after Rabbi Nezal Sistalkos, going to Rabbi Nezal Sin for Rosh Hashanah, was an item, the Bir Likut himself writes, he heard from Rav Nosson Zal, meaning he heard from his father, obviously he heard from Rav Nosson Zal, the fact that this item, Rav Nezal did not spell out clearly, this item was the Bechinas Chai Sefer Mechad Bidatai. You figure this item was so critical and so crucial, why the H didn't he just say do it? It would have eliminated all problems. No. It's the most important avodas are the ones which are left to your own discretion. Where Rav Nosson Zal in that item had to be Chai Sefer Mechad Bidatai. You look at Teres Samach Aleph Likut Imran in Proper Royce, he brings him back that Bechlal, the whole Hanhoga after Rabbi Nezal Stalkus, Rabbi Nezal didn't leave much instructions. What should be done? Why? What? Why? For obvious reasons which he had by him. That's the wording that Rabbi Nachman Shimon Zal brings. For reasons that Rabbi Nezal had, he couldn't spell out this should be done. You do this and this, you go here and here. Why? Again, each person has tremendous degree of bechira. You do whatever you want. You want to be cute. In other words, you think you can go it alone. All of these kind of questions. Try it. Try it. See what happens. And one who really wants the MS, let's cover this little piece on Likutei Halachos. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki ikar sheirish habechiro nimshach mebechinas Moshe hoisef yomech lemidatvei hamavur on that Torah in Likutei Moran. V'hovein heitev, and understand this very well. Ayin shom heitev, v'hovein heitev. D'haynu shetzorich lohovein midatvei ma'asher roitzah Hashem yisporach kodem shenitzdave. A person is required to understand by himself what Hashem wants before he's told, before he's given the command. Va'afilu achshav shekvar nitna Torah. And even nowadays, after Moshe Rabbeinu already received the Torah, in other words, Rabbeinu Zal said here that the Bechira was in what was necessary to be able to receive the Torah, to prepare 2 days or to prepare 3 days. Shleishes in Agbalo, 2 days. Hashem only implied 2, Moshe Rabbeinu added on a third one on his own. So even nowadays, after the Torah has been given, v'yesh l'kol echad b'chira kipshutai, and each person has b'chira b'pshitas to do yes or no, afal pikein, still, b'in yomei eitzais, as far as advice, eich lizkois l'kayim es divrei ha-Torah, how to be zeicha to be mekayim the Torah. Note, Rav Nosson Zal said, l'kotei alochis, it's brought in koich v'yor, Rav Nosson Zal once said, what's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbeinu Zal? Moshe Rabbeinu's function was limud ha-Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the world the Torah, Rabbeinu Zal's function was kiyum ha-Torah, to teach the world how to be zeicha to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a lecture, he was the professor, kaviyochel, the one who presented it, gave the initial presentation. Rabbeinu Zal was the one. Rabbeinu Zal's limudim are geared towards kiyum ha-Torah, to show you how to be in simcha, how to do tzitzis, how to daven, all of these items. And to know what path to go on, in b'derech hamachakrim, whether to go on the path of the philosophers, the thinkers, in b'derech hamikubolim, or to follow the line of Paiskim. Note, we're talking about Shulchan Aruch here, we're talking about big tzaddikim. The Rambam Zecher Tzaddik V'Kodosh Levrocha was a big tzaddik. There were many other Ge'onim, Talmidei Chachamim, who went along one road. There was a split in Judaism. They took one path, the Mekubalim took an exact opposite direction. Now we're faced with the problem, which way do I go? There are people who say that you study the Sefer Mem Nun, that will make you classified as a religious Jew. And if you don't know that Sefer, there's a chisorin in your religiosity. You don't really understand Hashem well. You don't understand religion. There's a mitzvah of b'chol derechecha do'ehu, to da es Hashem, to know Hashem. The Bali Sifrei Kabbalah, on the other hand, say this is treif, this is avi avoy satuma, this is kol bo'eha, lo yeshuvun v'lo yasigu orch yischayim. A person who goes there is going into the she'el tachti yischas v'shom. How do you know which way to go? This is where the whole bechira is involved, to know what path to go on. V'chein l'mi l'hiskarev, and also to know to whom to become mekurov. B'chol zeh tzorech odom lohovin me'atzmoy. All of this a person cannot, there's no way, there's no address in the Torah where you're going to find a gematria to tell you which person in this doyer is the tzaddik emes. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'im yistakel al tachlisoy hanitzchi be'ein ho'emes la'amitoy. And if a person will look at his eternal tachlis with an ein ho'emes la'amitoy, bevadai yizke lohovin be'eze derech yelech. Certainly that person will be zeche to get to know exactly what road to take. Ulami lehiskarev. Why? Because the Gemara says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo b'trunyan b'riyesov. The Torah isn't a comic book. This wasn't a joke. This is a very serious item. If Hashem requires Asei L'chorav, that a person should become a kusha to its tzaddik emes, he doesn't make it impossible. There's got to be a means of doing it. It's not trial by trial and error. There's got to be a way that if I go along a certain path, I'll be zeche to get to know the emes. What's the way? If the person will look at his tachlis hanitzchi bein hu emes la'amitai, then you'll be zeicha to see clearly what to do. The Bechinas, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hashem says, Askilcha v'urcha b'derech zutelech. I will shine into your brain seichel and oyer. I'll let you know what path to go on. I'atzo olecho eini. I will give you advice with my eyes, kaviyocho. Hashem says, I'll give you my eyes to look through to be able to know what to do. Ukamay shekosov b'teiro kimerachmeim sheyesh ramozim. Rabbeinu Zal explains in that Torah that there is the bechina of yodayim shebiyam hachochma, that when a Rebbe gives a shir, there's the words that he says, the actual words that he's speaking, and there's the yodayim, the ramozim. When a shir is given, when a teacher teaches, any teacher, you note that there's a lot of hand movement going on. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in that Torah, look at the Ran, that these motions of the Yadayim symbolize the Ramozim, the things which can't be told clearly, it can't be spoken out, it can only be hinted to in a motion, in a remes. Shema she'ein yicholim ligmar b'dibur goymrim b'yodayim b'ramosim. Rabbein Azal says there that that which a person cannot spell out clearly in dibur, sometimes he has to hint it. Hint with your hands. A lot of times when you want to make a hint to a person, you want to motion quiet or do something, you do it with your hands. V'chol zeh b'chinas neder she'noyder mi'atzmo midatoy b'shvil precious. He goes on to say this is the whole concept of the kanos of Pinchas, where he wasn't told what to do in this situation because he reacted properly. He was zeicha to a tremendous aliyah. In other words, he was zeicha Hashem gave him brisi shalom. Why? Because he was zeicha to know when kanoim poyim boy, when to jump, when you're not told what to do, to know what to do, to know how to act. And this requires tremendous tefillah. This requires begging Hashem, Hashem, askil chavo ercha b'derech zuteilech yatsa alecha ilei, that Hashem should shine into the person's seichel to know, please show me what you want of me, how I could best give you nachas, how I could best everything, how to fulfill the nekudas Rebbe, the nekudas Chover, the nekudas Talmud, the nekudas Atzmi, each thing, what level I should be on. Sometimes if I try too much, it's penyeresu, it's treif. It's committing a sin also. By Kabbalah Sotera, we find both. There was Haysef Yom Echad, and there was also a warning by Hashem, penyeresu l'arayis al Hashem, warn the Jews, don't you dare go up too high. Be careful, each one has a limit, and if he crosses his limit, chas v'shalom, he's in danger.
How does this coincide with two of the others? One, don't we have a thought also where we say that if the mitzvah doesn't...
By the way, God, he's asking the famous question in the world. Like the Lord says, which is greater, mitzvah v'isa or in a mitzvah v'isa? Rabbein Azal seems to be implying here that the ikar avoda is in what you're not mitzvah. The answer is it's talking in two different terms. In other words, in a sense, which will come more, in one way, which will be more difficult to do, what you're told to do. Why? Oh, because the fact that you're told, Rabbein Azal brings in a term of the Gemara, what makes Tikkun HaBris a difficult item? The fact that Hashem said, do this, so you have the reverse automatically, you have the Mayim Genuvim Yim Toku. Whatever, you tell a kid, I just showed Leah this today. The kids wanted to go downstairs play in the hall. Leah said, don't take down the riding toys. Right away, can I take this riding toy? Can I? Just the fact that you say this is usur builds up, generates a taiva just for the... I told her, next time you tell them, you can only take this down, they'll be fighting. No, I want the other one. And you see that that's human nature. You see that that's the way people are, because there is this concept of mayim ginuv niyintaku, that once you're told not to do this, then it becomes difficult because you were told on one hand. That's one concept. Rabbein Azal here is presenting a totally different concept, that on one hand, sure, that's harder, but on the other hand, when you don't know what to do, when there's uncertainty, should I add, should I not add, that's a difficult problem. It's a perplexing kind of thing, that concept of perplexing, that's what it is. He's talking about a different type of difficulty. They were talking about a conflict with the Satan, that when Hashem says, do this, right away, you have a malach that stands up and says, don't do it. That's on one hand. But on the other hand, when Hashem says nothing, you're totally, there's suffolk, which is a person's worst suffolk, is a molech. That's worse than the Satan, in a sense. You understand? That's the worst enemy possible. When I don't know, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I?
This difference before, that a person shouldn't, have to Hashem. I'm saying in the, like, the, around the beginning of the around the beginning of the sometimes you need the main of Hashem, and you should be in character.
Yes, but with respect. In other words, I don't think it uses the term demand. He would beg Hashem, he would plead with Hashem, he would argue, he would even argue. Rabbein Azal said, of course we should have tainus, but it's understood that it must be said with the utmost of respect. Isha yiras Hashem hi tesaro. Tefillah must be with yira, tremendous yira. In other words, that you're asking, but yet we're going to have that Torah soon. One of the Torahs coming up soon is the Torah where Rabbein Azal says, al-tas filas ha-kral al-tachunim, that a person never comes to Hashem and says, give me this. I must have this. That even when it comes to Kiddushah.
Why is this, in other words, why does Hashem make such a bechina that a person should be mitzvah? In other words, I have to say, it makes sense that if I know what's right, so that I should
Go ahead. That's the answer is that's one type of nachas. I'll give you an analogy. You look at a school teacher. You picture those who are students, you know what teachers are like. You picture a teacher who's teaching a curriculum. The kids have to learn it. Whatever it is, limudei kodesh, limudei chol, you get a rebbe in yeshiva who's teaching certain gemara, and he sees that a kid goes home and on his own, with tmimus, not with gaivo, because he wants to come in the next day and look big in front of the class. So he looks ahead, or he reviews, or he looks into mafarshim, but just with a sincerity, he has such respect for the learning and such a love that he wants to add on. In other words, he's never satisfied, he wants more. Picture what kind of nachas a rebbe gets from that kind of talmud, or a teacher from that kind of student. Student who's constantly looking to find out. In other words, this is the curriculum. There's a certain kind of nachas that a teacher gets when a guy gets 100 on the test. It means he studied the whole thing, he knows the whole thing well. But there's a certain totally different kind of nachas, in one where the teacher sees that this guy has developed such an interest in the subject that he doesn't only do what he's what's required, he goes and does extra work to get a total background in the item, that kind of thing. You get a person who knows, let's say, in our field in computers, you get a guy who knows how to write a program, you get a guy who knows the whole internals, how the libraries work, and this and that and everything. It's a different kind of mentality. When you hire a guy like that, you have this much more respect for him, because he didn't only do what he had to do, he did he understood that in order to do what he has to do, if he has a better understanding of the whole picture, he'll be able to do it better.
Yes. I'm going to finish this question. Rabbeinu says, in Rabbeinu Zal's wisdom, that he envies, you know, the Pashut Jew. Now, how do you reconcile, like what you said, it's very complex for the Shem didn't say you should do. How should a Pashut Jew do it? It's hard enough for a person might be a great Torah.
The answer is, there's Pashut, and there's Amhoretz. Seriously, there's a concept of being simple, in other words, not getting deep when you serve Hashem today in as simple manner as possible. There's a concept of a person who doesn't want to bother finding out what to do, that kind of thing, or he doesn't want to bother finding out how he can please Hashem best. That's two different worlds, two different planets. Pshitus is a fabulous item. But on the other hand, the biggest ish poshut can't say, well, because my nature is pshitas, I didn't really get involved in finding out all the laws of Pesach, what I'm allowed to eat, what I'm not. Seriously. Because there's a certain degree where it's called pshitas, it crosses a certain line, it goes into Amoritz, which Voloyam Horitz Chosid. He doesn't leave himself an availability for being perfect or extra, extra good. Lefir Mishrasa Gon Chosid. That requires a certain degree of intellect. So we're sort of caught in the crossfire. On one hand, Chacham is no good. On one hand, too much pshitus is also no good. It's got to be a midpoint. It's a person has to go up the middle.
Also, maybe another way you could explain, Rabbeinu said you never should be satisfied at staying at a certain level because that's what you're reading. You have to always advance.
100%. And that's like Shalom Shalom, that's what
you're
saying.
But
this
being pshitus, in other words, what is it lawful thing? In other words, a person... what is a person not...
Rabbeinu Zal spoke out specifically against people, for example, who are too much medayek. There are different examples of this. Let's say in davening, you have people who at times, they learn the... Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this example specifically, about saying the words clearly. You'll get a person who will repeat the same word 8 times to get to say it clearly. Rabbeinu Zal said that that's going against the proper kind of pshitas that there should be. First, let's understand that no matter how much you say it, you'll never know if you said it perfectly or not. So just try to say it within normal. Try to say it the best you can, and that's all that's expected of you. I once asked one of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, I had heard somebody say that when a kid makes a bracha, a 2-3-year-old kid, you're not supposed to say amen afterwards. Why? Because the kid doesn't even know what he's saying. He doesn't know what he's saying, so it's not really a bracha. And amen is a very delicate item. So I mentioned this to the Reish Pais of the world, to Rabbi Yechayim. He laughed. He said, and you do understand what you're saying? You understand what you're saying? Implying that in levels, in other words, in what there is to understand, we have to understand that there's infinite madregas. You open up the Kisvei Arizal, you see that the word Boruch, it's not Boruch. He explains how the word Boruch refers to the three of the spheres and a whole thing. So the person has to know that within his level, there is a requirement for a pshitas, a certain kind of simplicity, not going with, not trying to be cute, not trying to be a chacham. It's not that kind of thing, in a bad way. And again, not all of this can be explained. A lot of this is left to a person's own bechira. A person has to ask Hashem, show me what the definition of tumimus is. Show me what pshitus is. That's the truth. In Likud HaLacha, in a lot of places, there are pages and pages where he harps on certain specific items. In other words, he attacks certain items, or he advises certain items. But a lot of this can't be spelled out. It's something that you can't explain to a person. First, has to ask Hashem, show me. Rabbein Ezal says, Ki Ikra HaSechel Ipshitas and Tmimus. How do you, I know what Ikra HaSechel is. I don't know what the beginning of Sechel is. Show me what this word means, and let me be Zeche to live up to those standards.
Listen, but doesn't still come back? You still maybe have to go to your rabbi maybe to explain you a little bit in an indirect way.
Definitely. But what Rabbein Ezal is stressing here is you shouldn't think that if once you've done exactly what your rabbi told you to, you've fulfilled everything. Because Rabbein Ezal says there's a lot that he can't tell you.
Let me give you an example. Like take Barry Wex, like he got into trouble this and that, and he got up on the wrong end of things.
Right.
So he probably wouldn't be on like Rabbi said, and maybe this body doing the right thing, but he screwed himself.
100%. I'm telling you, there are times when a person goes straight and does the opposite of what they're supposed to. In other words, they're told do this, and they do the opposite. We're not even talking about that now. We're talking about a person who what he's told to do, he does, and still he could be 99% off. Because 99% of what he was supposed to do, he wasn't told, or it was hinted to him, it can't be spelled out to him. Maybe we'll do part of it. Rabbein Ezal says, "Da, you should know, she'efsher she'yeshev echod etzel chaveroi b'mokom echod b'gan Eden, that it's possible for a person to sit next to his friend in Gan Eden. Veloze yihiyu kol hatanugim v'shiashuim v'chol hashayi lamois. One of them will have all the pleasures conceivable and all the 310 worlds that Hashem says He's going to give to tzaddikim, as the pasuk says, "La'anchel lo'oy havai yesh va'oytzroi sehem amalei ulazei." Right, v'chaveroi lo yargish klum, and his friend will not feel anything. V'loyihi eloy shum tainug, and he won't have any pleasure whatsoever. Two people sitting side by side, one is feeling every pleasure conceivable, the other one feels nothing. Rabbein Ezal quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Ki shomayim larum, the heavens extend infinitely above. The eretz lo'imek, and the earth extends deep, deep below. V'leiv malochim ein cheker, and as far as the hearts of kings, there is no understanding whatsoever. We have no comprehension as to how wide an area can be covered by the hearts of kings. In other words, as much as Shomayim extends above and Eretz extends below, Leiv Malachim is much further than even that. It encompasses even further than that. As the Gemara says in Shabbos, Im yihiyu kol hayamim dioi, that if all the oceans were ink, va'agamim kulmasim, and all the reeds in the swamps were pens, ein maspikim lichtoiv chalolo shel rishus, we could never have enough ink and paper and pens to be able to write down kaviyachol any description of the area of Hashem kaviyachol, the area of the worlds. It's mentioned there, but its original place is the Gemara. Nimtza, what do we see from here? Shalev malochim godoil harbe meirum hashemayim vaymekoretz, that the hearts of kings extend even much further than the rum hashemayim, the heights of shemayim and the depths of eretz. Shetosim kol kach mokoim, it takes up so much place. Kamo elef alofim parsois, the heavens and earth take up thousands and thousands of parsois. No, it's hundreds of thousands of miles. v'halei v'hamoyach, and the heart and brain, shektanim ma'oid b'makoimam, which are very small in their place. How big is a heart physically? How big is a brain? Heim tefsim ha'koil, it encompasses everything. Ad sheyochel litein leiv al kol medino medina, a person's brain, person with his brain, can scan, can encompass countries, whole countries, v'litfois u'litzara b'liboy kol medino medino u'tchunas ha'shamayim v'yoyser v'yoyser mizah. A person within their heart, within their brain, can encompass the whole area of the world. You picture the heart is so big physically, and yet it can encompass within it miles, thousands of miles of area, blueprints of a whole building, of a whole country, of a whole continent, a person could have in his brain, in his heart. Kilev malachim ein cheker, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, that the hearts of kings, are limitless in a sense, so as to how much it can take into it. Re'ei v'hovein v'chakein gedulas haboirei. Rabbi Nizal says, look and understand and conceive of the greatness of Hashem, eich hamuit machzik es hamaruba, how Hashem designed items. We have a small item that can contain in it a tremendous amount. Shechatichas leiv koton kozeh, a small piece of heart. How big is the heart? It's a couple of inches by a couple of inches. Umoyach koton kozeh, and a small brain. How big is the brain physically? Yitfois b'mekoymoi dvorim gedolim koyle, can encompass within its area items like this, you know, the size of a building or a city or a country. V'zeh rak machmas shenimtza shom hu elikus. What gives an item this capacity to be able to take into it more than its own size? The amount of elikus that's within that place. That's why the city of Yerushalayim, which is the holiest city in the world, the Gemara says that city has the most elikus. The Gemara says that over there, there was never a case where a person ever said, Sarli lolan b'Yerushalayim, I don't have enough place there. Why? Because the more elikus that's there, the more space, the more mu'ut machzik ha'samaruba it is. You go in Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, Masechta Kelim, the Mishnah says that there were Eser Kedushos, you go into the Beis HaMikdash itself, there, within the Azara alone, you were able to have the whole Jewish nation stand, and each one had an area of 8 feet around him to be able to fall Kairim on Yom Kippur. Why? Because the more elikus that there is in a place, the more that place is a bechin of lamala min amokim, a concept of mu'at machzik samaruba, as you see in the human body even. The other parts of the body which have less elikus, let's say a hand, with a hand a person can carry more than the size of the hand. There's no question about that. You can pick up a big box, you know, a big area. But with the brain, a person can pick up, a person can contain in the brain a whole city, a whole country, a whole world. You got a person who studies geography well enough, in his brain he spans the whole area of the world. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki ikar ho elikus hu b'lev, because the main center for elikus within a person is in a person's heart. Umeato bin v'chakeim, and now understand, im b'halev, if in a person's heart, shenimtza shom rak b'chinas elikus, in the heart, that's not literally Hashem that's there, it's a concept of Hashem that exists within the heart of each person. She'enoi kaviyochol chelik echod me'elef alfei alofim me'hashkocha saberi baruchu. The part that exists within each person's heart is like 1 billionth, let's say, of kaviyochol Hashem himself. Kamogodol erkoi, and still, look how incredible it is. The heart can contain within itself whole worlds. Look how even by a goy, this pasuk in Mishlei, v'leiv malachim ein cheker, even applies to a goyish king, that once he rules over a country, it means he has administration, he has that whole country under his control, in his sights in a sense. He studies the whole country, is familiar with all its components, everything that goes on in there. al-shenesin le'ev l'chol medina medina. The king gives heart to every single country within his domain. V'tayfes u'meshar bedatoy kol ha-medina v'shetachtov. And he encompasses within his understanding, within his brain capacity, all the countries that are under his rulership. Im kol ha-odom asher alav, and all the people that are contained within them. V'chol ha-nimtzabo, and all the items that are found within them. U'me'ato, and now, have a don alfe alofim kal v'chomer, a person has to make a million times kal v'chomer over l'shayar bedatoy migdulas habayre baruch hu, to try to conceive of the greatness of Hashem himself, kaviyachol. Nimtza, so what do we see from here? She'ikar gedulas hamelech v'ta'anu le'imim shaltoy hu rak bolev, that the main greatness of a king, for example, when we say that Reagan is president over the United States, it doesn't mean that his hand rules over the United States. It means, again, this concept that in his heart, in his brain, is contained knowledge, understanding about the whole country, about how much of it he rules, and to what an extent he rules over it. He knows within his heart. In other words, he has the knowledge. It's not that he physically has control over it. You get a king over a city, it doesn't mean that he puts his hands around the whole city and he contains it in that manner. The only manner in which he really contains it is in his mind. In his heart, there is the knowledge that he is the leader over this area. And that he rules over them, over all of these countries and cities. He knows, he has the knowledge that he rules over these countries, and he controls them according to his will. Now you can understand by yourself that this, once you understand this introduction, then you understand how it's conceivable, she'yeloi kol hashai olamois believoi, how when a person passes away and he rises on to a higher level of seichel, ki molahor etz deis Hashem kamenoim chasin, when Moshiach comes, or when a person passes away, he goes into a higher level of hasaga. You can understand how in that level, just like on earth, you get a king, he can contain within his mind and heart, let's say 10 cities or 50 states. Picture how, after a person's histalkos, a tzaddik can contain within his heart 310 worlds, whole worlds, that he contains within his heart, within his mind, a rulership over them. Because the heart can contain within its small area an infinite quantity. And the tzaddikim, after their passing, can have all of these pleasures, although it might not be seen physically outwardly. The chaveroi and his partner, afal pi sheyoshev etzloi, although he's sitting right next to him, let's say, lo yarvish klum, it's possible that he should feel nothing. Ki liboy choser mikol zeh, because his heart is void of all of this. Mikol hatoivois v'hashiyashum sheyesh lo chaveroi hatzadik besoich liboy ashrei loi. His heart is chas v'shalom void of all of these pleasures and everything that the tzaddik contains within his heart. Ki ikar hargoshas tanug v'shiyashua olam habo v'chol hashai olam ois hakel hu b'leiv kanal. Because Rabbi Nizal says, now note, people ask this question, what is Gan Eden going to be like? What is olam habo going to be like? Rabbi Nizal gives us a small insight into it, that the pleasures of Olam Haba, the pleasures of Gan Eden, are going to be the type of pleasures that are contained within the heart. It's not necessarily something that could be viewed outside physically, but something where a person will be able to feel a simcha internally, the kind of simcha that a king on this earth feels in having the knowledge in his heart and mind that he rules over a country, over a state. You see the feeling of pride and happiness and gloating and everything that they have in this. Picture the feeling of pride and fulfillment that a tzaddik will have lost in Lovoi in knowing that he has this rulership over 310 worlds and even more, you know, depending on what level tzaddik he is.
Would this be comparable to the thing you mentioned about Ephraim, you know, the fact that you can have two people with the Maris HaMachpelah?
Definitely. The Zohar HaKadosh gives the example of the Maris HaMachpelah. The Zohar HaKadosh says, you picture Ephraim, what an idiot he was. he had this item within his possession. The Maaseh Machpelah, where his Zohar Kodesh says that when Avraham Avinu walked into it, you have the whole story where he tried to shech the three cows for the three guests that came to him, the three Arabs. He wanted to shech a separate one for each one because he wanted to give each one the tongue, which was the best part. Then as he was shechting them, one of them ran away. One of the cows ran away, the Zohar Kodesh says, and to get Avraham Avinu to chase him and chase him until the cow led him into the Maaseh Machpelah. He came in, he saw a tremendous bright light, an unbelievable kind of light. So the Zohar Kodesh says, if Avraham Avinu saw this, Ephraim, this was part of Ephraim's property, why would he dream of selling this at any price? So what? He made 400 gold pieces on it. Big deal. Why was he willing to sell it? He sold it for Aramei Shekel. The answer is, because Ephraim was this bechina of Ra'ayin, this concept of Ra'ayin that Rabbi Yisrael talks about. When Esav came to attack Yaakov Avinu, we said, lived 147 years, the bechina of Toiv Ayin. We said that Toiv is 17, that's the 17 years that he lived in Mitzrayim. Ayin was the 130 years that he lived before he came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu was the concept of Toiv Ayin. Esav came to attack him with 400 people. 400 is Begimatria Ra'ayin. He came to attack him with the power of Ra'ayin. Ephraim sold the Maaseh Machpelah for 400 shekel over La Secher. Also, this Bechin of Ra'ayin, this number 400, which is Ra'ayin, because Ephraim looked in the Maaseh Machpelah, he saw nothing, he saw darkness. Avraham Avinu looked there, he saw the bright light. You see how it's possible for two people to be in a place, one could feel, you take Shabbos, person who shomer Shabbos, the pleasure that we feel on a Shabbos, the internal peace and simcha, you get a guy on that same day, could dress up in the same kind of clothes, give him the same piece of challah to eat, it'll taste disgusting to him, horrible, I don't want to eat anything else, anything different. They can never conceive this kind of pleasure.
Yeah. How's possible? Gan Eden was saying he'll be on the same level as this person, I mean he was...
No, we're not talking about being on the same level, we're talking about two people being put side by side, and yet one will be able to be margish all the tanugim, the other one feel nothing. In other words, Rabbi is all showing, in other words, if you're picturing in your mind that in order for Hashem to be able to set up a Gan Eden where this person will have all kinds of worlds and this person will have nothing, then Gan Eden has to be so spacious. Rabbi is all says, no, you could have two people sitting side by side, one is feeling all pleasures conceivable, the other one feels nothing. Why? Because the main center for pleasure is in the heart. The main center of Mu'at Machzikei Samarubo is in the heart. Wherever there's Elokus, that's where there exists this concept of Mu'at Machzikei Samarubo to a greater degree.
We usually say that the Marv says that, you know, Lesser Lava, each time it can be from the Chut of his Terrenal Sea,
right.
Is higher, he is greater than Sagai, so he'll get all embarrassed.
Right.
The Rebbe is saying here, it's all in the heart.
Two separate items. In other words, on one hand, there'll be tanugim which a person will be able to visualize. That'll be part of his einish in a sense. And on the other hand, there'll be certain things which you can't even see.
This isn't this whole day.
100%. 100%.